Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are a locally grown radio. It is 9.05 on the clock. Got your host, James J. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning, good morning.
We hope you're having a good day out there. Hey, happy Tuesday, everyone. Mm-hmm. Good stuff coming up for you today. At 10.30, Melissa and I are going to take you right to the top of the hour with good stories and then a right stories. And then at about 10.05, we are going to have an impromptu special edition of Over the Back Fence.
Yeah.
Be sure to call up your items you're looking for, items you want to sell. We will, of course, in the meantime, get into some of our local events and touch on some great things that are happening in our area.
It's like a pop-up sale.
It is. It is very much like that. Well done. Nicely done. We're looking forward to that. And, of course, we'll lead you into Morning Magazine for the week, where in our first guest in part one, Southwood County YMCA, we're going to have Heather, Jamie, and Carly on with us. We're going to talk about Breakfast with the Grinch, the child caring programming they have going on over there, that they're running in Nakusa, and plenty of other great information with our Southwood County YMCA. Looking forward to that.
Awesome.
And it's a ball night tonight on this radio station here at WFHR. Tip off at 7 o'clock, Wisconsin men's basketball versus Maryland. Good Big Ten matchup right there. And then on our sister station, Wis Country 105.5 WIRI, 7 o'clock, Marquette men's basketball taking on NC Central.
Nice.
Going to be a good one right there. So let's go ahead and dive into this. And not really, this is usually where we do our entertainment segments. Don't really have much of an entertainment segment today, but I do want to touch on a couple of things. And this one I thought was an interesting article. I think we all know that American Idol doesn't always get it right.
Nope.
Plenty of people were rejected by the show before going on to make it really big. And those are just the people we know of.
Right.
I mean, I can't think of how many people who have auditioned and not even gotten a shot. And then we find out a little later on, hey, they're great. Or how many people are out there waiting to be discovered and just haven't had it happen yet? So there's a lot of that. Stars who made it big after being rejected by American Idol. That is what our list here is today. Bebe Rexha, she waited with her mom for 10 hours but didn't make it through. 10 years later, she was mentoring contestants. Nice.
Good honor.
Maureen Morris. She was rejected by both Idol and The Voice. She's doing pretty good now. Colby Calumet.
Colby Calais.
Calais, yeah. She admits she wasn't ready when she auditioned, but she was glad they turned her away.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be that motivator, or it can just be the thing that, you know, you just needed more time, or the repetition, the reps.
Yeah.
Mickey Guyton. She was on season 8, but she got eliminated right before the live episodes.
Really?
Hmm.
I don't know if I'm familiar with her at all.
Hillary Scott from Lady A. Is that band, Lady Antebella, that they used to be called or whatever?
I don't know.
Well, she tried out twice.
But
never got to audition for the judges.
And
that band is really, well, was really big. I don't know if they still are or not, but I know for a while there they were. Huh. Amber Riley from Glee. She auditioned when she was 17 and never got to sing for the judges either. She did just win The Masked Singer, though. So maybe that's kind of some redemption right there.
There
I don't
you
know.
Go.
I hope we didn't spoil that for anybody. I hope we didn't. They should have included that. Spoiler. Naya Rivera. She auditioned with the Bee Gees song Emotion, but didn't make it past the first round. But she used the same song to audition for Glee with more success.
Okay.
Now, I don't know a lot of these artists. I'm going to be honest with you. I know Hillary Scott. I know a couple of, and I definitely know who Kane Brown is. Producers rejected him because they, quote, didn't need another Scotty McCreery. Kane then made it into the X Factor, but he quit when they tried to make him join a boy band. His whole career, they've been trying to turn him into something he isn't. So to make it at what he's doing right now really says something for him and his, you know, really the people that have backed him, his producers and that, too.
Yeah.
Chrissy Metz from This Is Us. She got one step away from being able to sing for the judges before she was cut. But it's kind of interesting. One of the biggest shows in the last 10 years is that This Is Us.
Oh, yeah.
And she's not going to be on that show if she got the role on American, if she got the American Idol opportunity, probably. Mm-hmm. And it, that's really saying something, not just because of the TV show and everything, but I am I don't want to pretend like I know a whole lot about her or anything like that, but I know she has done a whole lot for people with weight issues, mm-hmm. And just showing, hey, I'm beautiful and you can be beautiful and you can look good and all these things, not looking like a stereotypical, you know, supermodel or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be begrudging. That would be, it would be a loss to not have that. So yes. I think that worked out for her. I don't want to speak for her, but I think mm-hmm. it worked out for her. You know,
there are a lot of people that look up to her for that.
Certainly. Yes. And again, she was on one of the most, she's always going to be tied to one of the most popular shows in TV history. Mm-hmm. That This Is Us was huge.
Yeah.
And Tori Kelly. Even though Simon Cowell called her voice almost annoying, she made it into the top 24.
I don't put any stock in anything he says, pretty much.
Yeah, well, especially now as he's like kind of, not kind of, he's gone on to admit, like half the time he liked the people. He wasn't mad at the people or that was just his
playing
bit.
The devil.
Yeah,
bit.
That was his character. And he's now kind of, I think anybody who watched him could tell. I mean, he's a bad actor, so you could kind of see through that. But now he's finally owning it and everything. I don't know.
That's good.
I guess.
Because he did a pretty good job of being hateable.
So I don't think anybody is going to go around saying that I'm walking around with some great career. So I'm not trying to put myself in this list. But I will say one of my biggest auditions I ever had was for Steppenwolf Theater in Chicago, mm-hmm. which is the Broadway of the Midwest. It's where John Lithgow, Gary Sinise, Mesha Taylor, John Mahoney started this school. And now basically any great thespian out of the Midwest comes from that school. Hmm. My audition there meant a lot, and it was important, and I went into it just so prepared. I had worked this monologue to the bone. I might as well have written it myself. Hmm. I was so ready to do this, and I get there, and I start in, and my mouth is completely dry. What happened? I have no talk. I can't do dialogue. I can't do any. It was one of the worst auditions I think I've ever done. And I was devastated.
Yeah.
I was just horrified and devastated. I didn't even want to look in the mirror, let alone talk to my agent afterwards or anything like that. The people that I auditioned for gave me a little bit of advice and telling me about, you know, different things I could do to work, be better and all that.
Mm-hmm.
About 10 years later, maybe a little less, maybe a little more, I go into my audition to do this for this film No Names that's filming around here. And I remember that Steppenwolf audition. Mm-hmm. And I did all the little things that they told me to. I go into it, and I killed that audition. I destroyed that audition. Good luck to any actor that had to go up against me in that part, because that was mine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that confidence. I don't have that ability without the mistakes of the Steppenwolf audition.
Yeah.
I genuinely believe that the universe always puts you where you're supposed to be. Good, bad, gray, all the above, but some, you know, it's where you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that I have that part in No Names if I'm busy at Steppenwolf Theater.
Right.
And I don't get my SAG card, and I don't get that Screen Actors Guild, that dream of mine to be mm-hmm. in the Screen Actors Guild and all these things. Like, I genuinely believe that these things line up for a purpose.
Yeah.
That Kane Brown didn't make it into the Masked Singer or X Factor and all this stuff because he was meant to be Kane Brown, not being in a boy band.
Right.
The Colby lady, that she was supposed to, you know, all these characters.
Mm-hmm.
What I feel for are the people that haven't made it yet. The people like, you know, that, and I would include myself in that list to a degree, but even I don't count because I've at least had some of a career. I'm a Screen Actor Guild member. I've had more of a career than most get. So even I can't necessarily begrudge it. I want more. But
well, that's the thing. You have to keep working for it. And that's the thing that all of these, you know, people who want to continue in that career, they just need to keep going.
What happens for 99% of us the first time we ride a bike?
Fall off.
You fall off.
Or fall over, more accurately.
Yeah.
It's not like a horse.
This is no different. You have to keep going. The purposes of this is to find out how badly do you want this? Because
mm-hmm.
nothing comes easy worth having. I genuinely mm-hmm. believe that. And I not to say that everything takes millions of, you know, tons of work or something like that, but it takes something.
It takes some dedication.
Work. Yeah. I think it's a really cool list, actually. That's pretty interesting. And it's great to see so many people being able to make really run on their career from this moment. Because there's so many people I know that are talented and great at what they do, and they're done. They're burnt out. The industry just ruined it. Before anybody's ever even going to hear their name, they're already done. And people talented, much more talented than I am, I'll admit. And they're done. They're working as an accountant. One of them is working as an accountant right now in Chicago.
And that's less stressful.
Yes,
that's,
and enjoying his life very
and that's
much.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, but
could have been.
You know, yeah. So I more power to anybody out there who is still fighting, still working at this. Keep doing what you're doing.
Because it's
have a day job, but keep doing what you're doing.
But it brings joy and happiness to all those of us that watch it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Do want to remind everybody, this Friday, the holiday production for Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater hits the stage. Yep, their opening night is this Friday, December 9th, for Miracle on 34th Street.
It's hard to believe it's here
so
already.
It's so right there. Yeah, it's crazy. Miracle on 34th Street premiering December 9th, and then they'll be back on the 10th. They'll also come back on the 15th, 16th, and 17th. All those shows are 7 o'clock, and December 17th, you get a 2 o'clock matinee thrown in there as well.
Right on.
Get your tickets at wrctheater.org. Some of our favorite people, some new people. Mm-hmm. It's a fun show with a different twist to it. There's just so much to take in with this one. And it's the holidays, everybody.
Right. It's the beginning of the season.
Yes, yes. Support local, buy local. Support artists or supporting artists and get to this. WRCtheater.org is where you can find your tickets. And again, the play will take place at the Centralia Center, mm-hmm. Where the WRC Theater is. You can find it right there.
Exactly.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and get into some That Ain't Right stuff and more fun things here on Mornings at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. And we got some That Ain't Right stories I want to touch on. This is a big one, I think. The latest prank that's making the rounds on social media involves hanging out in a parking lot and surrounding someone's car with shopping carts while they're inside a store and then filming their reaction. A lot of people are getting upset, and naturally, that's what the people who film the post, these reactions want, because it gets them a lot of attention. Stunts like this aren't exactly new, but they can spread quickly online. Mm-hmm. Recently, it happened to a woman in Oklahoma. After she dropped into a Walmart to pick a few things up, she said she was scared when she came out because she didn't understand what was happening. Yeah. A couple of guys were there, and they pranked her again by claiming that they worked at the store and that a manager named Dave told them to do it. She ran inside to find Dave, and they didn't exist. She went on the local news to share her frustration with the stunt and to warn copycats that if you do something like this to the wrong person, there could be trouble. She had a quote, "I wish they had just go get a real job." Kids have been pranking since the dawn of kids.
Yep.
As somebody who was a knucklehead growing up, I have no right and would be a humongous hypocrite to pick on this stuff. Mm-hmm. However, I am an adult now.
What? Really?
And trying to be. I'm trying to be, okay. At least.
All right. You try harder. I'm kidding.
Pull pranks on each other. Pulling pranks on strangers, no. Yeah. Pulling pranks on each other, yes.
Right.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. Doing something like this to somebody like not only could this scare her and freak her out and everything, imagine doing this to some people, like, and you know who I'm talking about out there. You can imagine the kind of person I'm talking about out there. Everybody use your imagination and think of this certain type of person that you do this to, and they are going to lose their minds. Mm-hmm. They are going to handle this violently. Mm-hmm. And it just stops being funny pretty quick. You don't want it to come to that. You don't want it to get to that extreme.
No.
I'm not going to say that pranking's horrible and nobody should prank or any of these things. I mean, we're human beings. We're going to pull jokes on each other and that kind of stuff. Somebody's going to call you and ask if your refrigerator is running. It tends
that
to be
pretty harmless.
Yes. It has to be a harmless prank, though. Right. Any chance of, say this lady was a single mom who ran in there to get a prescription for her kid.
And needs to get home.
Right. And she comes out and there all this is around. She can't get to her vehicle right away and her kid's at home sick. Like, that there's a line in the sand here. Like, even I, as a kid, who was a huge knucklehead again, realized this line. Did I prank? Yeah. Did I do it to people I shouldn't have? Absolutely. But I knew there was a line in the sand. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is from growing up in the projects. I don't know. But there was a rule. You never steal from people that have less than you. You never hurt people that have less than you. It's something that is instilled in us in these areas, in inner cities and everything. Maybe you could use a little bit more of that in the other parts of the world. Because you would never pull this stuff in one of those neighborhoods. You wouldn't do something like this.
Well, it seems kind of like when you're doing something like that just to get a reaction online, you're putting those people online without their permission. Mm-hmm. I would think that could be something that you could get called out on.
Oh yeah.
But it I don't know. I don't think it's funny.
Well, I don't see any. That's the other part of this that I wanted to wrap up on. The creativity is at a zero on this.
Yeah.
There's nothing funny or creative about it.
The only one that I did see a video that had to do with shopping carts where somebody came out of the store and just left their shopping cart in the middle of the walkway. Like, they didn't put it away in the cart corral. Mm-hmm. So a person came and got the cart and stuck it behind their car. And then when he went to back up, there was a cart there, saw it on his backup camera, got out, moved it. And then the person did it again. Like, they just kept doing it. Yes. It was obviously staged.
Yeah, yeah.
Because who wouldn't notice this person coming out and putting another cart? But it was kind of funny time.
Yeah. See, I think that, the other part of this is, why are we bringing attention to it? Why are we talking about it? Well, this stuff is going on. And if we have the chance of telling somebody about warning somebody, and then they do come out of the building or whatever, and they do see this, they don't freak out. They know it's a prank. They know it. Chances are maybe they know that anyway. I don't like taking chances like that.
Well,
I
think appropriate response to that would be, go back in the store, get a manager. Yeah. A lot of those big parking lots like that have cameras.
I also like the idea of, pulling these on them then. You know, if that's a possibility, if you are able to. I like the idea of flipping the script on them and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something to keep an eye out for. We will take a break right here. Want to get to Melissa's news. Let's do this instead. Let's do a story. I want to counter that with that not good story with a good story.
Yeah.
So let's do that, and then we'll go into your news.
Pick me up.
The world's oldest pen pals have both turned 100 years old and are celebrating 80 years of letters sent across the pond.
Oh, cool.
Jeff Banks from Devon, England, and American Celestial Beyer from New Jersey started writing each other back in 1938 when they were just 16 years old.
Wow.
They were paired by an educational project that sought to connect British and American students, and 84 years later are still corresponding.
That's cool. Are they doing it with snail mail?
I believe so. Quote, somehow I ended up with this letter from an American girl, and we just kept writing ever since, Jeff told News.
Mm-hmm.
Former engineer Jeff even kept in touch during World War II while he was serving as a mechanic on the British aircraft carrier HMS Illustrious in the Pacific.
Wow.
They began using email a while back to give Jeff a break from putting pen to paper, which became difficult, and recently they had their first Zoom call.
Wow.
That's cool. In one of my early letters, I sent her a copy of a British paper in 1953, which had Queen Elizabeth's coronation on the front of it. But we generally just chat.
Just tell each other about their lives, and that's really cool. That's not something you hear very often anymore.
The fact that they kept this up, despite having chatted for decades, 6 years longer than the current Guinness World Record pen pal relationship of 78 years, the centenarian pair only met for the first time in 2002 when Jeff visited New York City for an 80-year-old Christmas.
Wow.
They also met a second time 2 years later when Celeste invited the traveler to her New Jersey home for lunch.
Just pop over for lunch.
Despite having a unique relationship, the pair never became romantic, even after Jeff's wife passed 11 years ago.
Hmm.
Celeste confirmed, saying, no, we're just friends, like people who live next door.
Hmm.
Nowadays, Jeff relies on young people to assist him in setting up a chat with her using this new thing called Zoom. Celeste does the same from her new residence in Texas, where she moved to be close to her family. It's nice to hear his voice, she says.
Aw, wow. That's a really cool story.
It's a really cool story. I also think it's a really cool example of something that exists a lot more than we see in social media and represented in movies and TV shows and everything. Mm-hmm. Men and women can be friends.
Yeah.
They can be friends without a sexual relationship or any kind of physical romantic stuff going on.
Very true.
I mean, there's more of this that exists in our lexicon, in our society, than we realize, but we'd never, you know, see enough examples of it in TV and movies and everything. So then we wonder why little kids grow up and they don't think this is possible. Like, of course it's possible. It's ridiculous to think it can't be possible. Yeah. It just takes two human beings wanting it to be possible. And it can be. Like, we need more examples of that. That is a pretty cool one right there. And it's a great story that comes to us from thegoodnewsnetwork.org. However, you can see that story. I've seen it on the AP, on NPR, and a couple of other places, too. It's making the rounds, if you will.
Well, yeah. If they're getting Guinness Book of World Record recognition for it, it's going to be...
It's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool story. Now we'll go to Melissa's news. Now it feels more... Now the atmosphere, the mood feels a little better to go into your news now, I feel like. We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun here on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. All the fields we go.
I feel like I know that voice. I can't place it, though. Huh. I know that voice. It sounds very familiar. I feel like I do it.
Yes.
Morning show on WFHR. Melissa and James here with you at 9:34 on the clock. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a great start to your Tuesday out there. Got a That Ain't Right story here, and it's a That Ain't Right one to me because it involves one of my favorite cheeses. It's a That Ain't Right story to Melissa because it involves cheeses.
Yeah.
I know. If I ordered you $1 million, if I offered you $1 million, if you could name one ingredient in mozzarella sticks, what would you guess? More than likely, mozzarella. Would it be somewhere in your brain to like, mozzarella. It's got to be in the mozzarella sticks, right? I mean, that seems like a given. There is a class action lawsuit against Inventure Foods, the makers of TGI Friday's mozzarella sticks, corn snacks, because their mozzarella sticks don't contain any mozzarella, just cheddar. The woman who filed the suit says the product misleads consumers since it's labeled mozzarella sticks. She said she bought some online and reasonably assumed it featured mozzarella. To be clear, these are baked chip-like snacks, not the frozen fried mozzarella sticks you get at the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Inventure doesn't deny that there is no mozzarella, but they say the person who filed the suit is a serial class action plaintiff who cherry-picked only one part of the product's labeling. The label says mozzarella sticks in big lettering, and then below it, mozzarella-flavored corn snacks with other natural and artificial flavors.
Okay.
And on the back it says, each snack stick is loaded with savory flavor of mozzarella cheese mixed with other signature spices.
Okay.
May get into a little bit of gray area, a little bit of trouble on the end there. That may be, that part might be a little bit.
Well, because you can flavor something that tastes like a specific cheese without it having that cheese in it.
Right.
Obviously. I mean, as all of the non-dairy cheese options do.
Right.
Because a mozzarella style cheese that is made from cashews is not going to contain any milk, which is what mozzarella is made out of.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is somebody just going after money.
This is the thing that really, really, you know, not only bogs down our judicial system, but makes it, gives it a bad name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we actually have a pretty darn good system when you think about it, when you take a step back. Now, people mess it up pretty bad. But the system itself is actually pretty well designed and does a lot of safety guards and everything to it, as far as not allowing certain things to go too far in the judicial process and that. You take people out of it. Actually, the judicial system isn't so bad. It's actually
pretty, there weren't people involved.
It's just that whole people thing that kind of like mucks the whole thing up a little bit.
Now, this is somebody I would say, go get a real job.
Yeah, yeah.
Stop chasing companies over trivial little things. I mean, this isn't going to harm somebody.
Why not flip that into a job and be like one of these people that is a consumer reporter,
right,
or something like that?
Or an advocate for, you know, truth in advertising.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, there's ways you can do what you're doing and actually turn it into a living. People do this all the time.
Well, that's what she's doing.
What do you think Etsy is? Like, there's 90,000 people on Etsy right now doing that. Like, I mean, we've seen more than ever people can turn something into nothing. They can turn nothing into something. They can do this. Like, you don't have to take this route to it. And the work that it takes to do this stuff, it's so much easier to just get a job.
Yeah.
I think the same thing about these scammers out there and everything. Like, the hustle, the work that it takes. A hustle's supposed to be an easier thing than a job. These things are not that. Like, we're going to talk about this during our impromptu Over the Back Fence today a little bit, about some of these scams going on and everything, and warning people about some of them. And they're ones that you already know about. I'm not like holding on to information. Find out at 10:30 what scams I'm gonna. I don't like that. I would just tell you guys. I wouldn't do that. But as far as things that are going on right now, and we've got Sheriff Becker on tomorrow. We'll be talking about it more then, I'm sure, as well. If you just took that same energy and put it into a job, and it doesn't, I'm not saying you got to get just any job. You can find a job that is tailored to what you are doing right now. You're into scamming. I bet you're probably a good coder. Well, we got quite a few jobs out there for that. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a hustle for everybody that you can legitimately get paid for. It doesn't have to be a hustle like that.
That's illegal.
Right.
And this just, I don't know, it rubs me the wrong way.
And I don't, I know this isn't going to register. I understand that, but I can't help myself. I mean, nobody gets off scot-free. Everybody gets caught. It's just a matter of time. Whatever hustle you're doing, whatever you're doing, everybody gets caught. D.B. Cooper got caught. May not have any proof of that, but he did. everybody gets caught. It's such an endless, pointless thing. You are just putting off the inevitable of you will have to eventually get a job, but do you want to get a job so you can pay off your fines and your debts, or do you want to get a job just to make a living like the rest of us? Because you're going to end up having to get a job eventually. Maybe that job is making license plates in prison. Maybe that job is something like that, but you will work. You will work eventually. So do you want to do it willingly, or do you want to do it because you're forced to?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Well, we'll take a break right there. Got one more That Ain't Right story. Got some good stories of the day and plenty more to get into. It's Melissa and James taking through your morning right here at WFHR. Well, thank you very much, Jennifer. A big thank you and a shout out to, of course, the greatest in the business, our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Appreciate them so very, very much. Got some That Ain't Right story, one That Ain't Right story here to get to, and then I got a couple of other little things I wanted to touch on and some good stories of the day with you, Mel.
All right.
This one takes the cake. You probably haven't had your holiday work party yet. See if you can top this one, though, when you do. A company Christmas party in northern Michigan went sideways Saturday night after the Grinch had a little too much to drink and beat up Rudolph.
Ooh, whoops.
The party was at a hotel in Traverse City, Michigan. A 30-year-old employee dressed as the Grinch attacked another 30-year-old employee who was dressed as a reindeer. Police say the Grinch guy was the aggressor and started throwing punches. The reindeer guy was just trying to defend himself and play in other reindeer games. It's not clear what led up to the fight, but alcohol, shockingly, was involved. The cops arrested the Grinch for assault. I mean, that's just too on the nose.
A little bit.
It's just a little too much, you know?
It's better that he was dressed as the Grinch than Santa, though.
It's very true, very true.
Even for a work party.
This is one of those situations where I love the idea of the person just like turning the corner and walking around, and that's what you walk into. You see a Grinch and a reindeer fighting. Like, huh. You know, I'm going the other way. I'm going the other way. I'm just going to avoid this one.
What kind of Christmas party is this?
It's like, I got to quit. You know, no, never mind. Just going to let that go ahead be. I'm not even going to get involved in that. I want nothing to do with that one.
And the sad thing was it's people that were employed by the hotel, not party goers.
Yeah. Yeah. That's rough. That is not going to go over very well for that. It's going to be hard to keep a job after that.
Yeah.
I would love to see the statistics of how many people have lost their jobs during Christmas parties. It seems like I've only been to a couple of Christmas parties, and I haven't been to any that were like this. Like all the Christmas, I don't want to say they're boring, but they weren't like this. They weren't, you know,
drama filled.
Yeah. There wasn't anything crazy going on. I mean,
well, you've never attended my family. No, I'm kidding.
Right. I feel like I'm missing out. I feel like I don't know.
That's a party you'd want to go to, though.
No, probably not. No. Younger me, maybe. But probably not. You're probably making a very strong point there. I should be mature and not look for drama. But
And then you have to have like this breakout session when you get back to work. All right, let's talk about the Christmas party.
Yeah, yes.
Get your feelings out.
So, some things happened. A Grinch and a reindeer fought.
We need to analyze this.
We've got a lot of kids upset. We've got. This is a fascinating story that kind of broke yesterday, and it's just been making the rounds, although it is a story that is around a lot longer. Archaeology has answered a lot of mysteries of our past, but while it has shed some light on what our history looked like, it also unveiled a lot of unanswered questions. Many of the archaeological structures around the world are shrouded in mystery, and the story is mostly unknown. So let's take a look at some of these, or just one of them in particular.
Mm-hmm.
I think of the Easter Island heads right away. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of them. Like, there's a couple of things in life that are on my bucket list. Mm-hmm. I want to see those in person. I want to see the pyramids in person, like things like that.
Yeah.
But those Easter Island ones, like the pyramid thing is more of a cultural thing for me.
Right.
The Easter Island thing is just a curiosity.
Fascination.
I want to see those things.
Stonehenge.
I don't know if it's Stonehenge, another great example. Yes, another great example. Those Easter Island heads, I don't know if it's common knowledge, so I'm sorry if I ramble this every time I talk about them, but I am going to make sure to, because I think it's so dang cool. For hundreds of years, I believe, we thought that they were just
heads.
Yeah. And now we know that they're
it's a whole body.
And again, going back full circle here, going back to digging, you know, where we just digged a little bit and like, hey, wait a minute. Is that a shoulder?
It doesn't end here.
There's a shoulder. Like, there's an arm.
What else? What else is on there?
Those things are amazing. Yeah. And as long as we've known about them, we have no more knowledge about them than we did other than the whole thing.
The
fact that
it's not just a head.
But they're basically an episode of Lost. Like, as soon as we're about to answer some questions, we get 20 more questions.
More questions.
Now there is this. From the mystery of the Chinese emperor's mausoleum to the shell grotto, nobody knows who built these structures.
Hmm.
They are, and I'm showing them to Melissa right now.
Okay, they're so just, like two towers.
Yeah, and you can see kind of like example to the, like there's some people there so you can see these examples.
Yeah, they're like 50 stories tall.
If you were looking at them from above, they almost look like they'd be a star shape.
Okay.
Sort of, you see what I mean? Yeah. Like the ridges kind of like. So where are these exactly? These puzzling structures are outside of China, and they're not sure where they came from.
Hmm.
There's no history. There's no history. There's no nothing. And because, to be blunt here, and I'm not trying to be cruel or mean or anything, they're a part of the world that is left to us very mysterious to us,
right?
Because China holds
very protective.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of unknown. And there's not, and even if there is anybody that has any answers, they're long gone.
They're not telling them.
Yeah, they're long. Yeah, right. Just fascinating.
It is fascinating.
It looks
those
like
those are huge structures.
It looks like as well from this that there there's like windows in these structures. So it looks like that they have like they served a purpose. They weren't just built. You know, they serve some. They almost look like a Rapunzel kind of situation.
Down your hair.
Yeah, it's just fascinating. Just really cool. And
so they're just there. We don't know what they are or what they do. Can you get inside them?
That's what I wanted to know. And again, because this is taking place out in, you know, that part of Asia where we just don't get to ask follow-up questions, you know, who knows? But I think it's pretty interesting. I think it's pretty curious.
It's fascinating.
Do you think, let's say tomorrow the news breaks, hey, we know what these Easter Island heads were for. Or, hey, we know what Stonehenge is for. Do you want to know? I don't know anymore. Like, there's a part of me that's dying to know. Like, would literally waste a time machine experience to go back in time and be like, hey, what you guys building? Why are you doing that? Why? You know
what? What's it for?
We just wanted to mess with people. You watch, 1,000 years from now, people are going to be like, what was this thing?
What is this?
It'll really mess with them. Like, there was just me, a version of me 1,000 years ago, basically doing that. Mm-hmm. Or was it, hey, it was to figure out weather. It was, you know, to be able to coordinate with people. I don't know. I mean, it was a big, bookmarker. I have no idea, but there's a part of me that has always been driven by this curiosity to find out.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you
take it away.
I don't know. I generally don't know. It's a rhetorical thing here. I really don't know if we would be better off knowing or not knowing. Is it fun to have your imagination just kind of like run game and figure it out yourself, like what you would think?
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes mysteries are fun to discover what it is. And like you said, some are we don't know and nobody knows. And that's what makes them cool because nobody knows the answer.
Yeah. And I think that there's something fair, like not fair, but like just about that. Mm-hmm. That we're all
on the same level playing field.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Next, this one comes to us from CNN Style. It's a really cool article. You can find if you go right there. It's an early article. This came out yesterday, I believe. I'm going to show Melissa the picture of it before I tell her exactly what this is.
Hmm.
They're like stone tablets. They have some feathers put on the front of them. It almost looks like a face, kind of.
Kind of. It's like circular patterns on top. It looks like an owl to me.
Yes.
So like it looks like owl eyes, and then it's got kind of lines that go between and below, and then there's
some like triangles.
Pyramid, yeah.
Yeah, pyramids, yeah. Yeah, kind
pyramid,
of.
Pyramid, triangle-shaped pattern on the bottom part that could be feathers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
So what is this that Melissa just did a great job describing? Well, over the past century, thousands of pieces of slate engraved with images of owls have been unearthed from tombs and pits across the Liberian Peninsula. It's what's now Portugal and Spain.
Okay.
But first, points to Melissa. Nice job. Nice job. The artifact dates back around 5,000 years ago. And for more than a century, their function was kind of flummoxing archaeologists. Many thought they represented gods, goddesses, and primarily served as a ritual purpose. Findings from new research published Thursday, however, suggest a more functional thing. They were toys. They were toys made for children.
Nice.
That's what the research is finding out. The study co-author and researchers at the University of Madrid said that the engravings' informal appearances made the team doubt that they were exclusively ritual objects. Plus, many of them were found in homes and other archaeological sites that did not have a clearly ritual context.
Hmm.
Oftentimes found in what would have been a child's room.
Interesting.
To test the idea, they were instead toys. The research team examined 100 of the slate plaques, documenting which particular owl traits were featured in the engraving: feathery tufts, patterned feathers, a flat facial disc, a beak, and wings.
Mm-hmm.
These were they're believing to be the first stuffed animals. Of course, we wouldn't have
made out of slate.
Made out of slate, yeah. Not the most comfortable thing necessarily to fall
up
to
with
sleep
at night.
With.
Yeah. Yeah.
How cool!
Like, that is cool.
I mean,
can you imagine that time? Johnny has a slate owl. I want a slate owl, Mom. Mom, can I have a slate owl? Mom, please, please. I just want a slate owl. That's all I want for Christmas.
I got to go out on Black Friday to get another slate owl. You're telling me I got to go get a... Oh, fine. Boy, and those would be really tough. Like,
honey, I need you to carve another slate owl. These really have taken off.
I'm on it. The students were asked to by teachers to sketch an owl in less than 20 minutes with no further instructions, and they're saying that this was kind of like the game, maybe. Like that they were that not only were they the first stuffed animals, but they were also like a game. So it's actually like a multiple toy. Like you get multiple things out of it and stuff.
Training to be an engraver, possibly.
yeah. Or just learning to draw. I mean, back then, you probably was one of the only ways to pass on writing and art or any of this stuff. I don't even know how much English language we had at that. Well, 5,000 years ago, I suppose we did have some English. Mm-hmm. Yes, still though, it's still fascinating. Yeah. It's still pretty cool. So again, going back to my previous statement. Is it better to know the answers or not? I think it's pick or choose, you know, it's to each their own. But sometimes it is kind of cool to hear the answers. Mm-hmm. These were not, you know, for hundreds of years, we thought they were ritualistic things for some spiritual kind of like, you know, gateway or whatever. Nah, it's just a toy. It's just a toy.
So eventually, James, we're gonna start discovering these Easter Island heads all over the world, just buried deep down in the ground, and realize they were just giants dolls.
Yes, exactly.
Just toys. Nothing toys more for the to giants.
It. Yeah. Giants show up and like, hey, we left a bunch of toys here. And my kid's been wanting them back. You guys mind if I'm just going to grab that real quick? I'm just going to take it. Oh, that's all they were? Like, see, it isn't always great, but they have the answers. So, yeah. We find out Stonehenge, I just dropped those. Like, a giant just dropped them and they happened to land that way.
Sticks.
Yeah. They just landed there. But their version of Lincoln Logs, basically. Yeah. And they just happened to leave them there. Oh, I'll grab those. Let me get those out of your way. I'm so sorry they were in your way there. Like, that's all they were? A one-eared dog named Van Gogh is where we start our good stories of the day. He raised money for charity by painting with his tongue, because he's a good boy. He used to be a bait dog in a dog fighting ring, which is how he lost his ear. The head of a rescue place in Connecticut originally used the painting idea as a gimmick to get him adopted, but now he's done over 60 paintings and raised over $3,000 to help rescue other pets.
Wow. That's cool.
Should be noted the paint that he's using on his tongue is safe for him.
Okay, good. That's important.
A woman in Philadelphia named Patricia Gallagher is in the news. Every year she goes to a different nursing home and hands out hundreds of stuffed animals to seniors who might not get a lot for Christmas. Aww. They're all donated by random people or come for toy drives. She's been doing this since 2009. That lady's a hero.
Yeah.
That lady's a hero. That is an awesome human being right there. A town in Washington raised $2,300 to send a grocery store worker with autism to a Seattle Seahawks game. He's a huge fan and had front row seats, but it turned out it was more money than he needed for the trip. So he donated the rest. He gave some to his local autism society and $500 to a food bank.
Wow.
And that was his idea.
Wow. That's cool.
Could have done a lot of things with that money. Mm-hmm. That's what he decided to do with it.
Awesome.
And the world's oldest pen pals we discussed earlier today, with that story and everything. Just to get a couple of other notes about this. So they've been doing this since 1938, since they were both 16 years old. they are going to be meeting again early next year, apparently.
Really?
Yeah. One other little part of the story I wanted to make sure to get in there. And they are making plans to meet up again. Now, I believe if I'm getting the story right, and I only got to read it once, I like to read these things twice. Mm-hmm. I think she might be trying to set him up with somebody.
Oh, really?
And I think that's why he's coming to the States here. And I love the idea of 100-year-old and setting up another 100-year-old on a blind date across the pond.
Right.
Like, you can't get, 20-year-olds usually sometimes to meet, like, across...
In the same town.
Yeah. But these guys, what they're doing for love here and everything, like, that's just a cool story. That hits cute. My romantic heart.
Aw.
Keep on listening, everybody. We got a great, fun edition of Over the Back Fence, a pop-up edition of Over the Back Fence, coming up between 10 to 10:30. Mm-hmm. Be sure to call up with your items you're looking for, items you want to sell, different events in the area we want to talk about. We'll also be touching on some of those events in our kind of news and notes.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give away a pair of River Kings tickets.
Woo.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I figure why not? It's fun. Why not? We're going to have some fun with the half an hour. And of course, we'll lead you into our first Morning Magazine bit, a segment of the week. We'll welcome in the Southwood County YMCA, talk about Breakfast with the Grinch, child care programming they're doing in Nakusa, and plenty more.
Awesome.
Melissa, have a great day. Good show.
You too, James.
We'll be back with plenty more. You be good to each other, and we'll talk to you soon and later right here at, well, Pam, you say it better than I do.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.